It's time once again for our regular catch-up with RNIB Chief Executive Matt Stringer here on RNIB Connect Radio to talk about what's been happening around the organisation and, of course, issues relating to life for blind and partially sighted people. Hello, Matt, and thank you for joining me again.
Hello, Toby. Nice to speak to you.
Matt, I thought we might start this week with a sort of reflection on the very successful RNIB 2022 See Differently Awards, which were held in London earlier this week. A great event showcasing the people and organisations who are breaking down barriers that many blind and partially sighted people face, as well as celebrating the great work that people are doing around inclusivity for visually impaired people.
It was a fabulous evening, Toby. I know you and I both enjoyed it. I think, you know, first of all, it was great. I think in a world sort of getting through COVID, you know, to be back out face to face, meeting people and celebrating and being able to collaborate and talk. So it was lovely to be out. I think, you know, enormous credit to the RNIB team for putting on a really good show. It was a really sort of first division experience, and the 250 or so people who were there had, you know, a great time and really, I think, came away having really sort of recognised what a high quality event it was. And that event was made high quality, particularly by, as you said, you know, the quality and engaging, compelling nature of the nominees and the winners in all the awards categories, you know, all the blind and partially sighted people and organisations that were supporting blind and partially sighted people that were up for awards, who, you know, got a chance to showcase their efforts. And, you know, clearly not everyone could win, but we had films and a summary of everyone who was on the shortlist. And so, you know, for over 20 individuals or organisations, it was a chance in front of that audience to really get across what they've been doing, you know, fantastic work. But also, if you look at the evening as a whole, really make a very strong impression on the audience about how much brilliant work is being done in the sort of VI sector, but also how much work we've still got to do. And I think it was great to be able to have an evening which was basically largely, you know, hosted and fronted by blind and partially sighted people. Amar Latif, you know, was a very charismatic, engaging host who did a brilliant job over sort of 3 hours of keeping the evening going. We had Andrea Begley, who some of your listeners will know, won The Voice in 2013, who is blind and partially sighted lady from Northern Ireland, who's a volunteer for us in Northern Ireland, works for the Northern Ireland Civil Service. She sang, which was great. And a variety of blind and partially sighted people, Marsha de Cordova, you know, Amit Patel, coming up and presenting awards sort of through the evening. So, you know, it was a brilliant showcase on, you know, for all that and a really high quality event. And I'm really proud of the RNIB for putting it on.
And now sort of time to have a little talk about the iCare liaison officers. I know we recently celebrated our 100th ECLO, but there's been some developments with some partnerships with other organisations for remote ECLOs and also some great strategic partnerships of the RNIB and an organisation called CHECK too.
Yes, Toby, that's right. You know, we celebrated about a month ago the 100th ECLO going into Chase Farm Hospital in North London. But I think, you know, we're very proud of our ECLOs, and increasingly as COVID has taught us, you know, we need to be trying to evolve the service, you know, coming up with imaginative ways that we can get the benefits of an ECLO service in front of, you know, as many people as possible. And so there's three sort of developments this week really to talk to that show how this service is evolving. As you said, we've got a relationship, a virtual ECLO partnership with a community health and iCare group. They're called CHECK as an acronym, which David Clark is going to sort of launch and showcase tomorrow on Friday this week. I think they're based in Watford, but there's about 10 sort of virtual ECLOs we'll be putting in place through that partnership. And I think, you know, as we're all seeing, you know, we need to be putting in more virtual type capability as people, you know, are spending less time in fixed locations. So that will be a really interesting partnership, which we're launching tomorrow. And then that sort of is a similar motivation, as a similar context, if you like, around a couple of other things. So we've just done some work in West London with Hounslow Council around sort of virtual ECLOs going in, non-hospital based ECLOs in West London, which we've been working on for some time. And that'll go live sort of later this year, which is a real achievement of the team to have been able to work closely with the local council to pull that off. And then also up in Scotland, I remember I was up there in the autumn and we were talking to the ECLO who does the Highlands and Islands, which must be the most sort of romantic and picturesque beat of an Eclo service, you know, hopping on ferries and whatever across the Highlands and Islands. But we're just putting in place the Shetland Eclo service, which is going to be launched on Friday this week as well, which again will be a very picturesque and remote beat moving around, you know, all the islands that make up the Shetlands. So, you know, I think it's really interesting that to show, you know, how we're taking what's a really sort of core service and then been vital and coming up with imaginative ways that we can sort of expand that service into a world where, you know, we're serving dispersed populations or we're offering that sort of virtual service. So, yeah, exciting times on the Eclo front this week.
Matt, we must finish up with an update on how the RNIB and other sight loss organisations are supporting our fellow blind and partially sighted people who are caught up in the war in Ukraine.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, very harrowing, isn't it? I know we're all sort of seeing it every day in the news and you can't quite believe it, can you? A month in now or more than a month in. So we galvanised ourselves, you know, a couple of weeks ago and been working in real time to respond, and clearly events sort of change very quickly. But an update for you this week would be we're seeing the benefits of the, you know, the UK VI sector, visually impaired sector, coming together ourselves, Guide Dogs, Thomas Poplington Trust and Blind Veterans particularly, where we're able to sort of knit together, you know, capability and ideas across those organisations, and also drawing in the Visionary Group, which is the umbrella of the smaller societies around the country. And we've basically been pledging money through the European Blind Union, and Thomas Poplington Trust have put in a good amount of money this week alongside the money we put in first. We've also been sending materials out to the Romanian and Polish societies to help refugees coming across the border into Romania and Poland. And then we've been trying to work with other organisations. So the umbrella organisation for all the sort of visually impaired societies in Europe is called the EBU, the European Blind Union. We're working, we pledge money to them and we're working with them to make sure we get the right things on the ground. And that relationship is sort of gradually evolving and we'll get more information out of that. We also had a meeting this week with the European Association of Societies for Physical Disability, or the EASPD, who are based in Brussels. And they're looking across a spectrum of sort of how they can support people of disability coming across the border and working with other societies in Eastern Europe who would support people with disability as well as reaching into the Ukraine. And we're just setting up a meeting for early next week between ourselves, the EBU and the EASPD that I just mentioned, to see how we can best sort of knit together information and get whatever support is required, you know, into the region. And then the final thing that's come through that EASPD route is a potential link into the national society in the Ukraine that looks after people of disability, of which clearly visually impaired people would sit within that group, we think. It's called NADU, and we're hoping to have a meeting with them to see what we can do to try and get support actually into the country. So, you know, a variety of things there, Toby, which, you know, the team are working on with our partners in the UK, and increasingly getting some good relations with people in Europe. And, you know, as the week goes by, I'm sure this will bear fruit, you know, as every week goes by.
If you'd like to find out more about the RNIB 2022 See Differently Award winners, or if you have any questions at all relating to sight loss, please do visit the RNIB website. That's rnib.org.uk. You will also find a wide wealth of information and advice on the RNIB website. You can also call the RNIB helpline on 0303 123 9999, or you can even ask your Amazon smart device to call Lady A and ask to speak to the RNIB too. Well, thank you very much indeed, Matt, for joining me this week here on RNIB Connect Radio.
My pleasure, Toby.